All right, let's go straight to, I assume you're in St. Vincent. Are you in St. Vincent, Dr. Shallow, Vice President of the Cricket West Indies? How are you, Doctor?
I am on you. Good evening to you, Dr. Ford, and obviously all your listeners.
Right. Well, I know you want to say a special hello to your good friend, Dr. Ford. He's your good friend. Have you ever met Dr. Ford?
Of course.
Have you ever met him?
We met at a thing, was at Edgar Cock, you know, one of those other polyclinics, I think. but we haven't had that chance to go out and have a diner yet.
Well, next time you come to Barbados, make sure.
Okay.
That you go to maybe Sandy Lane or the Cliff or one of those big places. Sorry for the, don't send me the commercial bill there. No, of course, we're going to talk to you about the expectations of Cricket West Indies in relation to this tour, Dr. Shallow.
Yeah. I mean, we obviously looking forward now to the New Zealand tour. I think the players, you know, I've spoken to Jimmy Adams up to yesterday. And he gave me all assurance that all is well in New Zealand, the players, the coaching staff, and the full management team, that they're all in good spirit, following them as well. You know, I have a few friends out there, obviously a few of them who have played some cricket with too, you know, close, remain close. And so they have said, you know, it's been fantastic so far, especially now that they're out of quarantine and they get into, you know, go around to New Zealand, they're in training and so on. So they enjoy New Zealand. So they met with the governor, I think the mayor, yesterday. And so the guys are in good spirit, and we are looking forward to that tour, that first T20s and then the test series.
Mm. Were you a little concerned about the breach of protocol recently? Or did the media make too much of it, in your view? Having done an investigation, I would imagine.
I didn't really put too much emphasis on it, to be honest. You know, once the manager and the other guys have sort of reassured us that everything is under control, and I was comfortable with that. Of course, the guys, they have been tested a few times, all negative results. I think that is what is most important. And they are now out of quarantine, which is an indication that, you know, it wasn't really, you know, detrimental or, you know, anyway, probably just a slip up if it's anything, and hopefully the guys who are involved learn from the situation.
Mm. So the board is basically comfortable.
We are. I mean, they again, it's learning next. You see, COVID-19 is still relatively new, and it's really a challenge being in quarantine and so on. And you know, it's a steep learning curve. I just hope that the players, you know, grab every possible opportunity to learn, and whenever they make mistakes, just like all of us, Andrew, that they learn from the mistake as quickly as possible. Mm. You know, where we become concerned is if, you know, they're a repeat of such situations going forward.
Mm-hmm. Doc, any questions for your good friend, Dr. Shallow?
Well, certainly. Dr. Shallow, I've only had the pleasure of managing a few representative teams from Barbados. I know a manager is an all-encompassing role where you know of all the rules that govern your tours, your logistics. You check on the players, you check on them as groups, check on them as individuals. So I was a bit curious that Cricket West Indies asked the manager, who would be the all-knowing person on the tour, to conduct the investigation regarding the breach.
Yeah, I think the manager is the most suitable person on tour to do such. And I mean, Raw Lewis, who is quite an experienced individual, played international cricket, so understands, you know, players, you know. Also, he has been a project officer for Cricket West Indies for a few years, so he has that experience as from the operation perspective as well, and now serving the manager's role for going on to about 4 years. So quite experienced, and you know, a very you know, well respected gentleman, honest, you know, great integrity, and we have absolutely no doubt that his investigation and his report, you know, were, you know, accurate and in keeping with all our core values.
No, what I was getting at was that with his experience and his, you know, his role on the tour, that if not knowing, does that suggest some culpability that he didn't actually know that it was happening, that he wasn't able to, because it seems to seems they were there was more than one infraction. Do you think that not being aware of it and having to find out after the fact and then investigate it, do you think that there's some culpability where he is?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, in fact, if you're in quarantine and you're supposed to be in the room, you know, I mean, unless you are privy to footage of a CCTV, which I think the hotel probably saw, it would be difficult for him to know. So, I mean, I think most importantly at this point is that we have moved on from this. The fact that the players are out and about roaming New Zealand at this point is testimony that, you know, they are safe. Everyone is safe. And, you know, we should just be focused on the cricket right now.
Doc,
are you happy with that answer?
Doc? As a former manager, no, but I'd like to move on.
Okay.
As a former manager, I'd be disappointed with myself if that happened under my stewardship. But
Dr. Ford, I mean, you have to remember, these are not children we have. I don't know if you manage children or adults, but these are adults. And you would expect that they would all be responsible, right? So, I mean, I don't expect a cricket West Indies manager, a West Indies manager on tour with adults is going to be looking over his shoulder and watching what these big men do, you know? So from that perspective, you know, I accept that whoever were involved that day, it was a lapse of judgment on their part, and I'm hopeful that they would have learned from the situation.
Doc, before you go on, though, what are you not happy about in relation to Dr. Shallow's response?
Well, no, I'm just saying I know that they're not children. I manage adults. A manager is someone who's reaching out to players, find out how they're doing one-on-one, find out how the groups are doing every morning, letting them know what's supposed to happen, reminding them of things, the important things like not, you know, the important things that would outline how not to be in breach of the two bubbles and that sort of thing, the reminders. Mm. And also he'd have feedback from other members of the management team. He or she is someone who's aware of what's going on at all times, where they're going, when they're eating. It's not a parental role. It's an all-seeing, overseeing job. It's a very difficult job that requires, you know, quite a lot of work. A manager never stops working during the day. Once his charges are awake, he is awake before them, and he's probably going to sleep after them. And he's doing stuff, working on you know, the what's happening otherwise. So I'm just saying that my understanding of a manager is maybe at variance with the reality of what it's like for a cricket tour. You know, I was in another sport, so it is possible. But the next question I'd like to go on to is COVID, in spite of COVID being a challenge and all that being said, do you think it's ideal for the members of the T20 team, which will be starting the tour on a given date, not being able to be together until the day before the first match? Due to the standalone reason.
Yeah, nothing in this COVID-19, I mean, is pandemic is ideal, you know, and I commend the players who have all had to sacrifice time away from their families, you know, in totally unknown territory, you know, learning and so on. I mean, it's a huge sacrifice on their part. And, you know, if it's a case of not being able to train as much as they would have liked, you know, I'm sure that the guys have other ways of getting ready, getting their preparation going, whether it's, you know, talking the game, you know, studying the game, spending time with the video analysts and so on. And I mean, of course, these guys who are just coming off IPL, they would have played a lot of cricket over the last few weeks as well. They're not new to each other either. So they all would have a plan. I mean, even before the tour, Coach Simmons and the captains would have been talking, having their plan sorted, you know, communicating with the players, all aspects of the game, all the different departments out there on tour, whether it's the medical side or, you know, the analysts, you know, stats, and everybody is coming together And, you know, I'm sure that they would have made the best. They continue to make the best of whatever opportunities they get in terms of their preparation. You know, I'm happy to see some of the guys out there training and enjoying, you know, training in over the last few days as well. So, I mean, there's no excuse. They know what to expect. It's as a matter of, you know, making the best of the condition. And, you know, as I said, much commendation to them.
Just before you go, Doc. No, continue. Continue, Doc.
Go ahead. I was just saying that when questioned, the coach downplayed the effect of not having the team together for a longer period on their possible performance and getting up to speed and getting up to the fitness levels, even though they were recently playing cricket. Do you think that's an understatement, or do you think that's an accurate representation of not being worried?
The coach is quite experienced, you know, and if he says he's not worried, then I'll take his word for it. You know, quite experienced. He knows his players very well. He would have given them programs and plans for them to walk towards these both the T20 series and the test series. So I'm sure if he said that, he has no concern or he's not too worried at this point or worried at all, then, you know, that is what it is.
Just before you go, Dr. Shallow, I know you're a very busy man. I don't know if you've gotten an appointment. Tony Gray just sent me a note and asked me if you have gotten any appointments in relation to the new administration. They have Dr. Ralph Gonzalez. But that, of course, is a question you don't necessarily have to answer.
I had a few appointments on social media. Oh, it was minister, cabinet, and all these different things.
I heard that as well. Yeah. I understand that you're going to be the new minister of youth.
I heard health.
Oh, you heard health?
But nothing as that. Yeah, I heard health. I heard different things, but none of it is true.
But have you been approached by the 5-star general to work with him?
You know, me and the Prime Minister, we speak all from time to time. And, you know, he knows how I feel, and, you know, there's a plan. And whenever that plan, you know, is ready to be unfold or revealed to the public, it would be by the Prime Minister himself. But, Andrew, have you wished the Prime Minister congratulations up to this point? Have you had a chance to?
Well, of course. I mean, he's been on this show on several occasions, and I'm sure that Mason and Guest would have brought home that extra vote, because, you know, it used to be tight with one seat. Now he's got a little bit more breathing room there in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. But I'm hearing Dr. Shallow and Dr. Ford, you must be very happy that your friend is going to get a big pick there in the cabinet. That's what I was told. But of course, he you know, when I asked him the question, there was a silence. You know, about 10 seconds went by of dead air. Did you hear that, Tony Gray? He couldn't answer, could he, Tony?
No, maybe in the future, Andrew, but not at the moment.
I understand. Final question before you go. We've been hearing a lot of talk about the possibility of the 50-over competition being played in February next year. Can you confirm this, Dr. Shallow?
Well, I mean, we're working towards that. It'll be difficult for me to confirm at this stage. But I know Johnny and Jimmy and the full team management team, they're working to see what is possible. You know, we obviously, there are quite a few uncertainties still, almost weekly, in some cases daily, the different protocols are being changed across the Caribbean. And so these are things that we have to continue to observe over the next few weeks before we can say confirm. But we are really hopeful and determined to have a regional 50-overs tournament and even the 40 next year as well. Let us hope that things all go as well so that we could have these tournaments.
Yeah, because I understand that Trinidad, Barbados, and Antigua are the countries that you're targeting. And Tony Gray told me that.
We haven't been discussing venues as yet.
I see.
We are obviously So, but when you have Johnny Gill on the program next, you can ask him a few questions.
You can't go without saying hello to your very good friend Jamal Smith, who was under the gun last week for criticizing Shea Hope's technique.
Jamal is a good guy analyst. I mean, I've heard the first time I think I heard him doing commentary was with you,
yes,
Andrew.
Yes.
And I thought there and then that this is certainly a young man in the future. You know, I love the way how he analyzes, you know, the game, you know. And I haven't heard or read what he said about Hope. But, you know, Jamal is a good guy, top guy.
Very good, very good guy. And keep it in your thoughts. All right. Well, the Minister of Health in St. Vincent and the Grenadines in waiting, Tony Gray. So Doctor, you're getting... So while Tony Gray's being fired, you'll be selected.
I expect to see the Prime Minister at our Vinci Premier League final on Sunday.
Okay.
So give him your best wishes and tell him that
he should
make me the Minister of Health.
All right. So the next. Continue.
Go on. Sorry.
No, I'm saying the next thing.
I was going to say I'm not sure that I would accept the role. You know, but I would tell him you say that.
All right, no problem. Because the next time we speak, we're going to be speaking about your T10 competition, which I understand you've gotten sponsorship. But of course, we're going to leave it there. Thanks, you, Dr. Shallow. Always a pleasure to have you, and enjoy the rest of your evening there in St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Take care, both you and Dr. Ford and all your listeners.
All right. Time is approaching 8 o'clock. We obviously want to talk some local cricket as well. Let's go to you. We're talking about our good friend Dennis before you leave us. Dennis, what have you been doing? You're not in cricket anymore. Any Bajan Montgay there in Australia?
Yes, I'm enjoying life, doing my walks of the morning. I'm very busy with the young daughter who's I train, and she's an athlete.
Wonderful.
Probably in the top five or top six at her age in Australia. So she's going well. So I'm doing things. Just by the way, the other day, the big fast bowler, Jeff Tomo, he picked his best 10 fast bowlers of all times. Did you hear that?
Yeah, well, tell us tell us about that team in terms of fast bowlers.
Yes, well, he picked the top 10 of and Tomo, and number 10 was McGrath.
Yes,
number 10. 9 was Holding.
Slow so they can. You said number 10 was McGrath.
All right, I'll slow it down.
Okay, slow it down, please.
McGrath.
Yes.
Number 9, Holding.
Holding.
Number 8, Bird.
Bird.
Number 7, Dale Steyn.
Steyn.
Number 6, Ambrose.
Ambrose.
Number 5, Donald. Owen Donald. Number 4, Richard Hadley.
Hadley. Wonderful.
Number 3, DK Lilly.
Lilly. Yep.
Number 2, Wasim Akram. And number 1, my old sparring mate and my same birthday as me, Denzel. Malcolm Denzel Marshall.
Oh, wonderful. That is absolutely brilliant, Dennis. And I'm sure that you basically agree with that, don't you?
It's quite, as you know, when you pick the best of best, you're always going to have a bit of argument here and there. It's not a bad side, but not a bad list, if you ask me, but... there's a couple could just false around there and sneak in, you know. But I mean, quite a sound 10, actually, a very good 10, I thought.
Would you have made any adjustments to that 10?
But I'm looking here now. Well, you could have a few, but Andy Roberts would have to go close.
I would think so as well. Yes, yeah, Andy Roberts would have to be there. Yes, I would think so. Yes.
Yeah, so that's it, of course. But and I was trying to look over the page, but I didn't see Tony Gray there.
Oh.
So, I don't know. I'll have to ring up Tomo and see if he made a mistake.
But just before you go, though.
I agree with you, Dennis.
we had some fantastic times, Tony. It was great days. I'm sure we just still got memories with it. It was sensational.
Mm.
And by the way, just before I go.
Yes.
I'm going to show you something, Andrew.
Yes. Oh.
Can you see that?
Yes, we can see. Wonderful.
Now, I was just going through the archives yesterday, and I found this. Apparently, I got this bat signed down the track a few years ago, and I must have picked a kind of a squad of 13 for a test match.
Yes.
So here is the signatures on the bat. It's Bradman.
Yes.
Sobers.
Yes.
Gavaskar.
Gee.
Gibbs. Greenidge, Marshall, Richards, Lara, Lily, Hadley, Marsh, Warren, and Akram.
Oh,
not a bad side.
Not a bad side. And a little consideration would have been given to Tony Gray. Not a bad side. Just
I wait on. I think you're on the back, Tony.
Dennis, that bat is worth a lot of money. You know that?
Yes,
a lot of money.
It's not a bad pick, is it? I'm afraid a few have passed away, so it's a one-off. You'll never get that bat again. So some good names there, some great players there, and it's lovely. Just before I leave, you probably get rid of me, but... I'd like to wish the boys down in New Zealand all the best. I think I'll be watching it all the time. I think our batting is the main thing. I think if they can get some runs, I've been looking at the bowlers. I think they're capable of bowling a team out twice. So hopefully we get some runs on the board and the West Indies put a bit of fear into other people, and we get a few wins.
All right. Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Dennis Waith. There, of course, the legendary trainer, one very instrumental in the fitness of West Indies cricket, and of course, that resulted in a success. It's always a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your morning.
Thank you, and nice to meet you again, and be good, Tony. Very good.
Right.
Take care.
And we'll send you a ball of Mount Gay. Is that okay with you?
Please do.
All right. All the best. Enjoy the rest of your morning. All right.
What are you talking about? One? You said one.
I like that. All right.
I can't spell one.
All right. Let's quickly go to our very good friend who was listening, and he would have made some notes of that tremendous team there that you pick in terms of fast bowlers, with Malcolm Marshall at one, Akram at two, Lily at three, and of course Hadley at four. That's a great debate. But of course, the manager of marketing has joined us, our good friend Stephen Leslie. Stephen, good evening to you. How are you? You had a big final there at Kensington Oval on the weekend. Talk to us about it.
Yes, Andrew, we had a very exciting game which was played over the weekend, and the Gladiola side, which has in the players like Javon Searles, Ashley Nurse, they were able to triumph in the T20 Cup final by 30-odd runs in a T20 game is a fairly wide margin. So we're very happy to have seen the response from the crowds. We've seen certainly the second of the three finals being complete. And this weekend, Andrew, we've got a very important T20 Shield final coming up. Your team, Crane Resorts and Catherine, coming up against JCB Boscobel. So we've got two teams from the outer parts, countryside, really, of Barbados. So we expect, again, a very good following. That game is scheduled to be played at 1 o'clock at Kensington Oval. And we hope to again encourage everyone to come down to Kensington and enjoy what will be really the final game of this 2020 season that really began some 3 months ago on August 15th.
Will there be admission to the ground?
At the moment, we are not considering having that admission fee, so that would encourage more people to come through. If anything changes between now and then, we would make sure it is known to the entire public. But certainly at this point, there's no serious consideration for an admission fee come Saturday.
Jamal, any reaction to what your good friend Stephen said?
Well, first of all, I'm very glad I don't have to pay $10, Stephen. I'm not one of those BCA members that have the good fortune of just walking through the gate. But the final was very exciting. The setup was good. The crowd response was good. The protocols were in place as well. I have to say, overall, the T20 tournament, you know, it has been a very good showing from the BCA. Leslie, congratulations to you and your staff being able to put it on, and congratulations to the Gladiator team, as I called it.
Yes, you did. You called it last week. Yes, Gladiola.
So I've got something right over the last 7 days or so. but yes.
Indeed. All right. And of course, you must be complimented, Stephen, because, I mean, the football has been stopped in Barbados and the cricket is going.
Andrew, we endeavored at the beginning of the tournament, as I said, during the lockdown, to work feverishly to pull together what we would consider workable protocols. Mm-hmm. So we began our season back in August, and kudos must be given to a lot of the clubs and the schools who, when we started with just about 100 teams, made every effort to really comply. And the important thing about it, Andrew, with just one playing day remaining, we continue to remind people of the importance. COVID has not disappeared. We may not be in the Caribbean exposed to the spikes and to the hospitalizations that you get, maybe in the US and other parts of the world. But we have to still remind people that we are in a very uncertain time. And we are very pleased that on the weekend, Andrew, that we had the opportunity for the very first time in a very long time, I would say, to radio, which you are very much part of. And we were very happy with the general feedback that we got. And we're hoping that continues going forward.
All right. Well, of course, we're going to have you back here next week. Final word with our good friend, Tony Gray. Tony, I'm not seeing you anymore. Has he left us, Tony? Tony, where are you?
Well, I'm here.
Well, I'm not seeing any tears because we know that you lost your big job there as chairman of selectors. But how do you feel about this, though, Tony? You got a minute or so left. How do you feel after being fired? That must be a bad feeling, Tony.
Well, I wasn't fired. I wasn't reappointed. That's a different thing, Andrew. The thing about it is that I would always want to contribute to West Indies cricket. I mean, if you see my resume, it's full with a lot of things. I spoke about institutional memory, and I cannot die with all this experience that I've gained from different sectors of the game. Mm. You know, I want to help West Indies cricket, and it's always been a passion of mine. That's why I became the first fast bowler from Trinidad in 34 years to play for the West Indies.
Isn't that wonderful?
So I have that profound passion for West Indies cricket, and I will help in whatever capacity.
So when do you expect to hear from those? Because you wrote letters and no one has responded to you, Tony.
Well, you have to ask them. Ask them for me, Andrew.
I'll do that. Well, I know that you are a wonderful man, and I hope you get your job back sometime in the future, Tony.
Okay, no problem. But as I said before, it's about West Indies cricket.
Dr. Ford, we got another about 60 seconds left in the show. Doctor, any final questions for anyone?
Well, too short for a question, but
yeah, sure.
I think we've done. I'd like to thank all you for contributing to the program.
Indeed. Well, we want to thank you, Stephen. I'm sure you're going to be back with us next week. We want to thank you, Jamal. I'm looking forward to this chat. The chat, I know that Ronnie Clark, who's here, the executive producer of the show, he saw the chats. I saw people in Barbados really, really hammering you. I wonder what they're going to do now after your response, my very good friend, Jamal Smith. What do you expect? Jamal?
Well, you could add, Andrew, you can add me and let me add my voice to the chat because I'm not afraid. I walk this line proud and tall. So if they have something to say to me, they should try to say it to my face as opposed to walking away when they see me on the street.
All right. All right. Well, what I'm going to do, as soon as I come off, I'm going to add you because I like that. You know, Tony, I stay away from controversy, don't I, Tony?
Yes. You're talking the opposite tonight.
All right. It's always a pleasure to have you, gentlemen. Thanks to you, Dr. Ford, for asking a very interesting question of Dr. Shallow. I don't think he expected that question, but of course, that's why you're part of this show, Dr. Ford. Wonderful questions, as usual. Thanks to you, my very good friend there, Stephen Leslie, doing a wonderful job in your new position as the man in charge of marketing. Thanks to the fired Tony Gray. And thanks to a man, Jamal Smith, who has redeemed himself. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a brighter tomorrow. It's good night.